Tonight, damning verdict on Akufo-Addo's government as 9 out of 10 Ghanaians pass vote of no confidence in the government, declaring the country is moving in the wrong direction in latest Afrobarometer survey.
We have 55% saying Amin should never intervene, and we have 40% saying they can intervene. These are things that tells you really what people are thinking. And our surveys are aimed at giving information to inform what policy, inform discussion, inform intervention.
But government vehemently disagrees.
The Afrobarometer report is not a full representation of what the Ghanaian people are thinking and saying. And I would also conclude by saying that when they conclude by stating that the president and Dr. Akufo-Addo has gone increasingly heavy-handed, stifling the media and eroding accountability to institutions, it's not what is represented. I would ask for him to render an apology on this conclusion.
So how will this impact the fortunes of the Bawumia Napo ticket in the December elections? We'll also take you to Parliament, where EC Chairperson is being subjected to grueling questionings from members of Parliament.
Absolutely no way that at the helm of affairs, the Commission can change anything, because the documentation comes from the ground, and we believe that...
Now we start tonight from Parliament, where the Electoral Commission Chairperson Jane Mensah has been subjected to grueling questions by the members of Parliament. The Commission Chairperson has been speaking for the first time about the controversial appointment of a known former MPP activist to the Commission by President Akufo-Addo, declaring she will do everything in her power to ensure the elections this year remain free and fair. Jane Mensah says there is no way herself or her colleagues at the EC can rig the election in favor of any political party.
There's absolutely, absolutely no way that at the helm of affairs, the Commission can change anything, because the documentation comes from the ground, and we believe that you have copies. So I can assure you that there's absolutely, and this is a message that we are sending and we continue to send to our officers on the ground. I think I'd like to start by assuring you, and I always, that the Commission is poised to deliver free, fair, transparent elections that reflect the will of the people. Yes, I would like to start by assuring you that the Commission is poised and ready to deliver free, fair, credible, transparent elections that reflect the will of the people. I can assure you that the Commission will not, and this is a message we are sending to the least person in the field, that our duty is to ensure that the elections are fair, the elections are credible, the elections are transparent, and open for all to see, that at the end of the day, the winner is declared. And I'd like to find out if you are aware of any loopholes in this system, because we know how the system works. We know that the system starts from the ground, and it starts at the polling station. The ballots are opened up for everybody to see. We have our party agents who are present. At the end of the day, the counting is done in the full glare of the public.
So let's take you to Parliament now, where Madam Jane Mensah has been answering these questions. Our Parliamentary Affairs Correspondent Kweku Asante is joining me now. Kweku, grateful. The minority have been demanding that a commissioner at the EC, Dr. Piahene, who was affiliated to the MPP before his appointment, is not posted to a certain region. What can you tell us more?
I've been hearing from Ahmed Ibrahim, who is a member of Parliament from Bono region. And we know that Dr. Piahene is from the Bono region, where he played several roles with the New Patriotic Party, including being director of elections, among other things. He said during the recent voter registration exercise, Dr. Piahene was posted by the EC to supervise the region. And this is something that brought a lot of mistrust because of his previous role with the New Patriotic Party. The EC chairperson has been assuring that Dr. Piahene whose appointment was done by the president will be sent far away from the Bono region where he used to serve the New Patriotic Party.
I'm from Bono region. And Bono region, we have a special challenge which must be put to you. In 2020, the New Patriotic Party regional director of election in the Bono region, whom we came face to face with, was Dr. Abiahimi. By default, he's found his way to be in the Electoral Commission. The Council of State says once he has gotten there, there is nothing they can do. Unfortunately for the good people of Bono region, in your recent exercise, you assigned Dr. Abiahimi to Bono region. When that happens, it makes the Electoral Commission lack integrity. My plea is, in order not to make people become antagonistic with the Electoral Commission, we have 16 regions in Ghana. If he cannot be taken away, the moment the NDC people see him, they can't forget he representing the MPP in 2020 elections. We have, this is the role that he played.
From captain to referee.
Beyond being a party communicator, he was the official regional director of election. The CV is here, if you care, I can produce it to you. So if you say that this same person, within 3 years, he should come to represent the electoral management body, you may say that the NDC doesn't like him, they don't like him. It's not like that. So please do something about that. You want to deploy him, you can, 2024, you can deploy him to a different region, but not in the Bono region where he worked for the New Patriotic Party in 2020. That is what he said. He said deployment.
Your point is very, very fair. Your point is very, very fair, and we would ensure that in future we'll take him very far away from the Bono East and the Ahanti region. So please be assured. I know we have exhibition coming up, and it's something that we will look at.
Well, the minority had an ominous warning to the EC about any attempt to rig the 2024 election. What was that about? So if you are with me, I want to find out from you that in that particular, you know, interaction we saw on TV today, the minority had an ominous warning to the Electoral Commission about any attempt to rig the election, because they've been warning about that for some time now. What was that about?
Yes, Brace. According to the NDC, it is an election that is about the soul of the nation. In their words, they believe that if the Electoral Commission is to take any action, that will inure to the benefit of the NPP or any other political party, but not to the Ghanaian people. It can lead to the overthrow of the 2024 election. In its own words, listen.
The mood of this country deserves nothing less than what she said. And if we are not careful, and where the country is at this moment, and if this election is not conducted in a credible manner, we may end up losing the 1992 Constitution. The future of this country is in her hands. The future of Ghana is in her hands and the hands of the Commission. Any trigger will erase all of us. And so, Mr. Speaker, since this election is an election with high stakes, there are certain issues that we believe it must be addressed and must be addressed properly.
Well, so that was the minority, but majority also had a warning, and they've been warning the public against dangerous misinformation that they think could endanger the country's security. Tell us more.
Well, yes, Patricia Pierre, who's been leading the majority front today, has some. In fact, the Electoral Commission chairperson has alluded to the fact that he has become the subject of what she described as hate speech, misinformation, and disinformation. The majority are warning the general public, in particular the NDC, that they should not go about misinforming and disinforming the public, as that could rather harm the national security interests of the country.
From the briefing we've received so far, I think a number of steps have been taken to ensure that we have a peaceful, fair election. One of the things that I would like to remind members here is that he who comes to Equity must come with a clean heart. And one of the things that we should avoid is to speculate on issues that don't have evidence. We have only one Ghana, and we don't have anywhere else to go. And that's the reason why we have brought you here, to apprise us of what is happening. And it is important that we pay attention to every details that you've given us to ensure that there's peace in Ghana. And I'm happy that you've taken us through this process, and equally happy that members are also aware that they cannot thrive on speculation to burn our country.
Well, so that's the EC boss who's been answering some questions there. Now, now he or she has been providing an update on more than 200,000 temporary election officials they have recruited for the 2024 election, which she says she insists went through a rigorous process to ensure, the competent persons are recruited for the elections coming on 7th December 2024. Listen.
You know, we recruited close to 210,000 temporary officials, and they include our returning officers and their deputies, presiding officers, verification officers, name reference officers, among others. We intend to offer them in-depth training to ensure that they operate and carry out their mandates as expected of them. For the first time in our history, we've created a database to capture the details of all our temporary officials. We can now identify each temporary staff by their names, their photographs, their voter's card, their Ghana cards, and their residential addresses. All these details have been factored on our database. Hitherto, our temporary staff were simply names on paper, but we believe that with the production of this database, with the preparation of this database, it will further enhance transparency and promote and foster the needed accountability required from our temporary staff.
And top story, as always, is brought to you by Telecel, connecting energies and holy seed insecticide spray and coil. Enjoy a holy sleep. Well, to our main issue now, where a significant number of Ghanaians are tonight convinced the country is not moving in the right direction. This verdict is contained in the latest Afrobarometer report, dubbed Democracy at Risk, People's Perspectives. In the findings, 9 out of 10 Ghanaians interviewed on the street believe the country is trekking in the wrong direction and must be saved. Although there is a witness in the, a witness in the increase for the demand of democratic governance, a staggering percentage wants military intervention, and they've been talking more about how young people would rather want military intervention than democracy. We'll bring you more of that. Let's get into, the report itself. And my colleague, James Avegi, is here with me with that. James, first, what does the report say about Ghanaian support and satisfaction about democratic governance?
Well, Brace, it says that the support for democracy in Ghana declined by some 6% point from 85 in 2011 to 2013 to 76 in 2021 and 2023. The average decline for the 30 African countries surveyed was 7% points. However, Ghanaians' satisfaction with democracy has also declined by a whopping 23% from 74 in 2011-2013 to 51 in 2021-2023. The average decline for the 30 African countries surveyed was 12 points, meaning Ghana's rate is above the African average, interestingly.
Wow. Now, this brings you to the conversation about military takeover. What is the score on that?
Yes, 55% of Ghanaians believed the armed forces should never intervene in politics, but 40% believed the armed forces can intervene when leaders abuse power.
What about media freedom in the country? Because we know the report also spoke about that. What did they say?
Well, in that regard, the report says that, quote, even Ghana's much heralded reputation for clean elections has been tarnished by increased violence, with 8 fatalities recorded, we know, in the 2020 presidential polls. And President Nana Addo-Dankwa Akufo-Addo has grown increasingly heavy-handed, stifling the media and eroding the accountability of institution. And so that's what the report has been saying with regards to that as well.
Well, we can now listen to the view of private legal practitioner Kweku Pentel, who has been speaking on this particular matter. He's been speaking to our colleagues on the AM show, you know, about this particular development, about the stifling of the media and eroding the accountability of institutions.
That I would rather enjoy my freedom, sleep about wherever I want, move about wherever I want. When people begin to clamor for their role and participation in the government, you begin to see where things will fall out. So that is the equation that we are looking at. That is not to say that what is going on in Ghana or other countries, but the struggle for democracy or for freedom has been one that did not start today. Even in America, even as we look at it now, there's a lot of disenchantment with American political system. There's a lot of problems with the average American, that how they find their political system and so forth and so on. But that is life. The whole of life is trying to make it better. And I do not say that we have the best conditions in Ghana, but I'm telling you that I have lived under a revolution. You know, it's very interesting the way I hear this young man speaking. It's very exciting. And if there are other people like him, let them hear me now. That I've lived under a revolution. I know what it is to live under a revolution where you cannot have your voice, where the military rulers pretend or claim they are making a heaven for you on earth, and yet you don't have a voice, and so forth and so on. I was ever declared wanted in this country for my political role as a student. And indeed and in fact, so what is going on now? People may be disenchanted with the economics and the politics and everything of this country, but we all can always make things work out through the political struggles that are going on.
Well, Dr. Osekwa Poi is a fellow at the CDD Ghana, and he has also been speaking on this particular matter. He believes the findings in the report should not be taken lightly.
You can see why those sentiments being expressed, where citizens don't feel like democracy is really delivering, then the first question that comes into their mind is, there are some basic things that we want. Good health care, good education, we want good roads.
Yeah.
Precisely. Mm. And when they don't see those things, then the first thing that comes into their mind is they equate it with the system of government in place. And if that system is not delivering, then those questions begin to arise, which is why I made reference to that piece all the way back from 2009, where the author said a day is going to come where citizens are going to look at their balance sheet in the democracy project that I had. That's the concept that we've been using now, which is, what does the balance sheet look like? And when citizens start looking at their balance sheet and they start feeling like there are more liabilities than assets where their lived experience, to borrow an Afro-Barometer term, of democracy is concerned, that is when they begin to worry and say, well, maybe this democracy thing is not working after all, because we are not seeing, we are not feeling the effects of it. And those effects are more than just we have freedoms. They also want to feel the effects in terms of the everyday bread and butter issues.
So that Dr. Osai Kopon, fellow at the CDD Ghana. Let's bring in Mavis Zupok Dome, who is a national investigator, Afrobarometer Ghana Survey, CDD. Mavis, I'm grateful to you for joining. First, I mean, we've had that your report. 9 out of 10 Ghanaians say that the country is moving in the wrong direction. Let's know what really, did they look at to then come to the conclusion that we're in the wrong direction?
Thank you. So if you, the question is basically on the direction of the country. However, if anybody answering this question would really think of it in so many ways, and our data really points to a lot of factors that would answer why they are saying this. The last survey that we did, the last survey that we did was in 2022, and this book report that was released looked at a span of 25 years of survey across 39 countries. Ghana survey, the last one was done in 2022. Our survey is nationally representative and is proportionate to the population, both urban, rural, and rural population, and then regional population. Now, back to your question. If you look at the issue of democracy, yes, there is still high percentages preferring democracy. But when it comes to whether citizens are satisfied with democracy deliverance, they say drop. Especially starting from 2017, there have been a drop, 80% to 2019 survey, 66% to 2022 survey, 51%. And if you, when we do something we call demand for democracy indicator, and then demand supply for democracy indicator, which for the demand we look at respondents' preference for democracy and rejection of all other forms of rule. And if you look at that, it's continuously increasing. It from 2014 at 47%, 2017 52, 2019 58, but it has increased back to 50%.
Okay.
But when you look at the indicator for supply, whether citizens are getting what they want, it's increasingly dropping.
Okay.
2017 is 70%, 2019 is 65%, and 2022 is 43%. So you see the drops when it comes to democracy issues.
I'm grateful for setting the tone for us, Mavis. So the economic issues are there, and hold on. So there's the issue about economy and governance, right? All of that culminating to this conclusion.
I'm grateful
to you, Mavis. I'm grateful to you for that. Let me bring in now Adam Senanu, who is the convener for the Citizens Movement Against Corruption. Adam, I'm grateful for joining. Now, if you look at the parameters, for example, on corruption, it says corruption increased somewhat or a lot in part of the year. If you look at that in Ghana, it's 77% say corruption was it was on the increase. 6% say there was a reduction. I mean, this government came into office with the conviction that they will be able to fight corruption. Why have we been here, I mean, almost 8 years down the line, where Ghanaians feel, 77% of Ghanaians feel, corruption is rather on the increase?
Well, I think it's essentially because the promise of a very robust response to corruption and corruption-related offenses has not been evidenced in the experience of citizens. And so when issues have come up, one would expect leadership to be neutral, to allow the institutions of state to get into the investigation, complete it, provide a response to the citizens by themselves, without it necessarily being filtered by the presidency and things like that. So I think that above all, the euphoria and excitement about a government that said it was going to make sure that we eschewed corruption has not been followed up with the execution within the past years that would then have given confidence to citizens.
But really, if you look at the presidency, they instituted the OSP to fight corruption. With the work that body has done, can't it contribute then? Can people look at it to say, well, because of this, actually something is being done?
I think that the OSP has been a very good initiative. But at a point, it appeared that the government itself was fighting or seemingly disinterested in giving the OSP as much support as it was expecting. And then there have been all these cases that haven't augured well, whether it had to do with the Galamsey issues where you have some of the people in the presidency, or where you had the appointment to the public procurement and then the gentleman at the top himself is involved in contracts for sale, or the Japan. There's just been too many issues over and over again where continuously the reaction hasn't been, you know, that kind of extreme. We will not associate with you, resign, go on suspension. That robust response that shows that this government will not associate with any such thing. They are letting go for investigation to be done, and whatever the investigations discover and the actions to be, there hasn't been that robust response enough to let people feel like the government is, as it were, fulfilling its promises. On the other hand, the cases seem to have been increasing over time. The scandals seem to be coming out ever so often, and that's not helping the situation.
But from where you sit, is this a fair scorecard? 77% people think there's an increase in corruption under this government. Is it a fair scorecard from what you know?
I'll tell you that I was surprised. I didn't think it was going to be that high. But you see, we are individuals. What is happening around the country, you are not everywhere. So what people are experiencing and how they are drawing their conclusions, it's a different thing. Except that, I mean, for those of us in this space, the methodology used to capture this, we see that it is not just a perception. It means that we should not take lightly this result at all. Coupled with the fact that there's been a 23% fall in our confidence in democracy, that is serious. And so we should not take it lightly at all. I think the political parties ought to be questioning themselves, because it doesn't look like they are delivering on the promise of citizens. Government should be sitting up. I think it's a major issue that this report is highlighting for our attention.
Grateful to you, but stay with me. Let me bring in Franklin Kujo, who is President Imani Africa. Franklin, thank you for joining. On governance, What for you, you know, is your takeaway? How do you rate the performance of this government in terms of how it has governed the people?
Well, ordinarily, you'd expect that the can you hear me?
Yes, clearly.
Yes, so the best way really to assess the governance in credentials of this government would be the things they promise in the manifesto. But I think beyond that, really, I mean, people experience governance in very different forms. And clearly, it is essentially the way public affairs is conducted to manage public resources so that we can possibly achieve political, economic, and social, if you like, right? And to that extent, if I use this rubric, I think that there have been grave challenges. I mean, on the economic front, without a doubt, the economy has tanked for the first time. People were to use a very loose phrase, pickpocketed of their savings, never happened before, in a manner that the president promised never to ever happen. But again, he was gaslighted by his own economic gurus. And somehow we went into a tailspin. So the economy has been tottering. I know Amin is trying to do well. God knows he should have been there much earlier, so that some of these supposed gains that are being made could have been more firmed up. But we don't see that. We never experienced that. Inflation skyrocketed to 54%, and it's still coming down, but it's still wobbling. Astonishing statistics. 77% of Ghanaians are definitely economically depressed, says one of the polled, I think the Old Mutual statistics. So, however you look at it, on the economic front, there are still difficult challenges, extremely difficult. I mean, Kanlipo, which used to be the moniker people accuse me for. I mean, Kanlipo was what? Was how much during JM's time? Was it 50%? Or by the time my good friend and I assumed power, it was almost a city. Now it's 5 cities, you know? So, the way, no matter how you look at it, if you dance, go up, look at cement. You go up and down, everything is just gone so high. That is a problem. If you look at the political front, of course, there are many, many questions. Look at the way, and I feel so worried and sad that my very good friend Nado somehow became a little bit too dictatorial, especially the way he treated some of these anti-corruption institutions, the Auditor General's Dome level. He was just yanked up, removed, and the Supreme Court also just sat back, wasted a lot of time, and then by the time they came to the rescue, Dome level was gone. So, again, you tend to look at all these things and you wonder what exactly is happening. Procurement is one of the biggest downsides of this administration when it comes to the way they use public resources.
Okay.
Sadly. Value for money considerations, Baumian established a value for money conference. Unfortunately, nothing came out of it. And fiscal council never worked. So everything you tend to look at, just too much. And I think that this report gives us an opportunity to reflect and say how not to ever get to where we got to today, and those questions and those answers must be demanded at the next debate. Hopefully maybe Joy, GBC, Imani, NCC, and then possibly UPSA will be doing this together.
But do you foresee a way for this government to redeem itself in this short time they have, and what must they do?
Well, redeeming the peace retribution against the economic hailstorms that we've experienced will be coming out clean and then laying prostrate before Ghanaians and say, look, guys, we messed up. We had the whisk, we have the economic whiskies, we had all kinds of people, solid team. Unfortunately, the solid team melted everybody else and thawed our savings, messed us up. Please, let's go back to wearing sackcloths, white sackcloths, calico, and then begging and saying, okay, we don't want to get there again. Come together, let's do these things properly. There must be a rendition, a rendering of the acknowledgement that things went really south. It's the only way the retribution can be countenanced. And I think anything else that goes against this particular train of thought will be difficult. But you see, elections are interesting. You never know. People get energized, and then somehow they tend to forget all that had happened. So I call on all political parties, fix this economy. We don't want to see what we experienced between 2019 up to 2024. We don't want to see it, because it's costing us almost 10, 12 years backsliding back into economic decadence and governance decadence. We don't want that. Going forward, we want you to commit and say, show us exactly how you're going to do this and the best alternatives to the things you are proposing. Anything that falls short of that, no political party should be giving any serious listening to.
Franklin Kijo, I'm grateful to you for joining, and thanks to you, Adam Senanu, as well as Mavis Zopok Dome, for joining. This has been Top Story, brought to you by Telecel and the Holy Coil and Insecticide Spray. That has been it. Coming up next is Ghana Connect, right after these breaks.
Ajay. Couldn't sleep at night. Mosquitoes will be whining my ears. Bugging me all night.